her father attended, to my knowledge, their family still attends synagogue there. I heard a little bit of the story how they met, that happened to be that the ship that he was in, returning from the Mediterranean after being 7 months deployed, was in Jacksonville, and they had organized something to welcome those soldiers, those folks back. And so I don't want to say anymore, because I think that'd be something that they would want to share with you, how they actually did meet. It perhaps it was divine. It certainly seems that way to us. Sandy chose, visited Kol Simcha more than 8 years ago. And she had never really attended any Christian anything. It's just not part of her heritage. They didn't understand her or her people. So Jean brought her to us. I've known Jean now for 40 years, maybe, that long. And so in various forms with him and Dr. Guth, we did things together a long, long time ago, back, it seems like pre-90s or early 90s. And Jean was always with Dr. Guth doing these things and welcoming the Messianic congregation in Gainesville to have fellowship with the rest of the Christian community. As things would go by, about 7 or 8 or 9 years ago, after he brought her to our service, she said to him, and I think I'm quoting this correctly, if not, please forgive me, that's my synagogue. And you can take me to my synagogue. I'm not going to your church. Okay? And if you know Sandy at all, you know that she said what she wanted to say and meant it all the way. And so she would attend at first, not really knowing anybody. She was shy, very shy. But what I remember is that as I lead the Torah processional, I usually go and shake the hand of the people, and I extended my hand, and she took it. So then, in another time, she received a hug from me. She never received it from anybody. Jean said, "You know what she just did?" And he reminded me later. So for me personally, she has a special place in my heart. I love you very much. You're such a special lady to us, my wife and I. And so what your husband wanted to do was to be the one to be called to the Torah today and read the Torah portion as if he were a bar mitzvah. In a sense, this is his adult bar mitzvah. And so what I want you to know about that is that typically it takes a young Jewish boy a year or two in Hebrew school to prepare these things. They're intense. It's an intense preparation. But he's done this on his own. This is the part that I want to emphasize. In the last few months, he also had the benefit of working with someone else who did the same thing a year ago, or a year or something ago. The years run together for me. A year or something ago, and she did the same thing. She studied and became able to read Hebrew and went beyond just the bat mitzvah kind of thing, and has progressed to the point that she is a right-hand person when we do Torah, because the ones that we've had in the past, this is a university town. People come here for the university, and sometimes they leave. because this is not their destination. They came here to get trained to go elsewhere. So we have turnover of those type of people. The last one, even though she started working in South Florida, would make a trip every 2 months or so just to do that, to be able to do that for us. And then there's another young man that has gotten married. He's not here today, but that the Lord's restored so that he can do that. And I have another young man in the back that is also able to do that. But Gene worked with Ferret, and they have prepared something for us. I think it's going to be a very special time for him. It's a special time for you, Sandy. He's doing this. In a sense, he wants to do it for you, in front of your family. And we join with him in being able to have this special time. I want to welcome all of his family that are here, or our family that are here, or close friends that are here. For them, partners in ministry for years and years and years, and the rest of Kol Simcha, to let's enjoy the Lord while we do his Torah service. So please stand. Gene will go and retrieve the Torah. I said Torah because I will also need John Davis to get the Sephardic Torah. We're not going to process it, but have it ready. It's okay, relax. I can sense the energy. It's the energy field. So we have two Torahs in two kosher Torahs here. The first one, the one that he's carrying, is an Ashkenazi Torah from the Lorraine region in France. It survived the Holocaust, and it was then brought by the Army of the United States, brought the Torahs that they found. Lorraine doesn't exist as a Jewish town. It was totally wiped out. There are no, only ruins of a Jewish community there. If you go to Israel, there's a place that you go in, that's in a cave. There are caves where they have mapped out what happened with the Jewish population of Europe. And as you go through the caves, you actually have, it's like a three-dimensional map. It's underground. And they were with us when Marilyn and Joe and Stephanie, we went and looking for Lorraine. And we found Lorraine, France. It's near the border, the German border. So it's one of the first places that was overrun. It was a small community. This Torah comes from there. According to the Sofrim, the Sofers, this Torah was better than 250 years old when I first got it, and that was in 1994, so it's almost 300 years old. It's a full Ashkenazi Torah with a Ashkenazim Sofrim. When they do the letters, they do them with flair. So the Torah is a Sephardic Torah. This is the type of Torah that you see in Israel at the wall. They're all this small. The box is usually made of wood. In this case, this wood came from Egypt in 1899. The scroll itself was written in Israel. It's an Israeli scroll that was done in the 1930s. So now this Torah is almost 100 years old. we want to give honor to both. So Gene will read from this one. So this one will you don't have to take it with us. You can sit down. So he's going to sit down, and when it's time, he'll put it here. He'll help us to put it here and open it up. The Baal Koreh will come and verify that it's in the right place. We don't want him to be confronted with a scroll and not know where it starts. So although he could do it, because we made sure he could do that 2 weeks ago. So she will actually take it, the yad, this the thing that's here, it's called the yad that is used to read the Torah. It's a finger, it's a hand, yad, hand. And he will use that to read from the scroll. We have also, at the same time, written using the sacred font, as it's called, the stem font, and taken the same portion and copied it into a PowerPoint. We could do a picture, but we don't have the cameras that do that so much justice. So instead, we have the computer generated. This is generated by Dafka Ryder. And so we have the text. The text has been, the vowels have been removed, so it looks identical to what he's reading. And what happens is that you look at that font and you look at this, and they're nearly identical. So that's, he's going to read the Israeli scroll, and he's going to process the Ashkenazi scroll. Is that okay? Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Next slide, please. No. Previous slide, then. Echad Eloheinu, Gadol Adonainu, Kadosh Shemo. It came to pass when the ark would travel, Moses would say, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. Let those who hate you flee from before you. For from Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel." Vayhi ben so Aharon vayomer Moshe Huma Adonai veyafutsu oyvecha veyanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion tzetze Torah ki mitzion tzetze Torah udevar Adonai Mirushalayim, Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Leamo Israel, Bigdushato. We bring the Torah to you. And the Torah stays in the center. If you'd like to interact with the Torah, it's traditional to use a corner of your garment or a book to interact with it, not your hand. Those are traditions that some others have adopted that we have not. We have stayed fundamental in this case. And so we encourage you to take a book or take a corner of your garment and interact with the Torah. The Torah is, for those of you that are not Jewish and are here, if you remember, John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning." Then you jump, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." This is the number one representation of that, of Yeshua, is the Torah. In fact, his early followers were not called Christians. They were not called Christians until the Antioch. That's more than 10 years after it began. So what were they called then? They were called the followers of the way. The followers of the way, because Haderech, the way, Haderech is a very important Jewish concept from the beginning, from Genesis. And Yeshua said, I am Ani Haderech, I am the way. Ani, I am the truth, and I am the life, Chaim. So enjoy. Please be seated. These folks have been helping us do this for many, 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 many years. So it's good. There's two traditions for lifting the Torah. Sandy's from the Ashkenazi tradition, so we're going to follow the Ashkenazi tradition. So we'll lift the Torah afterwards. Because this is a Sephardic Torah, it's not lifted this way. Instead, Joe, who's familiar with doing this, he will take it, not yet, but later, afterwards. He will take it and take it this way and hold it right here, exactly like it you'd see it in the Wailing Wall in Israel. Okay, so you'll actually get an opportunity to see the portion that he's reading. This is called a Yad, as I said before. The Baal Koreh, the Feret, is here. And she will make sure that we are in the right place. We'll give her a few minutes to do that. Now, if we had this $10,000 cameras and all, I'd actually have all these cameras on this, on exactly what, and we'd have cameras on in the person doing this, you know, all of that would be so that you could see it. You sort of have to imagine it now, you can't see it. If peradventure, at the conclusion, if you'd like to, I'll give you an opportunity to come see it really close. So when Gene's done and has done his closing blessing, before we present it to everybody else, I'll invite you to come if you would like to come. I normally have an iPad that's already open to this. Sure enough, on the day, right? On this day like today. It's sitting, still sitting right where I left it. Everybody tried to, said, you know, we'll go find it for you. I said, no, it's still, it's sitting where I left it, my fault. In Judaism, a name is a sign at birth. It's a name from a Hebrew name. It's a sign at birth. You'd recall, those of you that read the New Testament, that such was the case for Yohanan, for John the Baptist. And on his bris, they ask his father what the name was, and of course he couldn't speak, so he was getting ready to write it, but at that point his mouth was open and he said the name Yohanan. So that we follow that tradition. It's from there, and so Gene didn't have that, right? He was not born Jewish. He's been married to a Jewish woman, has been observing much of the Jewish way for certainly since 9 years ago. They've eaten kosher and all those things. So we needed to give him a name. So his name is Gene, which comes from, now there's two ways to take gene, that is genes like the genes in the microbes, things in the, inside the body and all that. That's, but that's not where his name comes from. His name comes from Eugene. It's a short version of Eugene. Eugene is beans from someone that is from a certain, so a descendant. So in Hebrew, we say toldot. Okay. That doesn't make a good name. So the second big important meaning for Eugene is a person of honor, a person of blue blood, like the children of Israel had among them in today's parashat and last week's parashat. It talks about selecting men of renown. Okay, men of renown who's before them. And I looked for that word, and the modern version of that word is Atzili. I said, well, Atzili ends in a yud that means my. So that would be my person of honor. But rather, so then I type, I'm glad that Google Translate works that way now, and I can type in Hebrew, and I typed Atzil. And Atzil came with the same identical meaning, that is a person of honor, but it's male, it's for a male, and it's not personalized. So I said, I called Gene and said, Gene, the equivalent of your name in the Bible is Atzil. Would that be an acceptable name for you? To which he said yes. So that's his name. Atzil ben Abraham. Yamod Atzil ben Abraham la Torah. Okay, the blessing, I'll help him do it, okay? Is that okay? I think he really would rather help him do it. Baruch et Adonai Hamvorach. Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Leolam Vaed. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher bakarvanu mikol hamim, venatan lanu et torato, baruch ata Adonai, noten ha-torah. Amen. You just start with amen, and it's yours.
Va'amarta elehem baharim kem, et kelbo mimenu, venek shav, alvi'im, Kitvuat Goren, the Kitvuat Yakev. Va'akaltem, Oto, Bekol Makom, Atem. And now we got to move to the top. Let's add breakpoint. Uviyakem, Kisa Karhu, Vakem, Kalef. Avodatkem, ba'ohel moed. Velo tishu, alav, ket, baharim kem, et kelbo, mimenu, ve'et koshe, v'nei Israel, lo tekalelu, velo tamutu.
Amen. Amen. He's not going to, we're going to take the tikkun and let him read that portion in English, which he probably has memorized, but we'll let him read it anyway. Because he said this is a, he only was more nervous than this at his wedding. I've done enough weddings to know that you can't let the guy doesn't have any responsibility in a wedding except to say, I do.
Yeah. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye set apart the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor and as the increase of the wine press. And you may eat it in every place, you and your households, for it is your reward for in return for your service in the tent of meeting. And you shall bear no sin by reason of it, seeing that ye have set apart from it the best thereof, and ye shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, that ye die not.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, it's okay to clap. It's okay to clap. I'm going to come, and we'll do the closing blessing. And Joe, you ready to do the other? Ready? Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu torat emet v'haye olam nata v'tocheinu. Baruch ata Adonai noten ha-torah. Amen. You need to put it in your belly. Please stand. The portion that Gene read, okay, is it starts over here at the bottom. So he had to overcome the fact that there were two columns and had to change columns. So he started right about here, right here. And he kept reading, and then when he got to here, he couldn't see the other. So we re-rolled it this way so he could do the end. Okay? It's customary to point to this with your pinky and say these words. Besot HaTorah Asher Samoshe Lifnei B'nei Israel Alpia Adonai Beyad Moshe, which means, this is the Torah which Moses placed before the children of Israel. It is in accordance with the command of Adonai by the hand of Moses. Amen. Will you be seated again? It's always customary to shake the hand of the Aliyah. Well, it's not because you did a good job, but you did. Okay? It's customary to shake the hand of the Aliyah because it's a great honor to be called to the Torah. And we want to acknowledge that you're an honorable man, Atzil. You're a great man of great honor. But I was asked, well, do you know if he prepared well? Did you hear him? Okay. I did not pre-hear him. She did. But she told me he's ready. And he told me he's ready. The first thing he said to me, I'm ready. So I trusted you. I trust. Because you're a trustworthy, you're truly Atzil ben Abraham. And it's a pleasure, it's an honor to have had you do this together. Amen. Give him the Torah. To put it away. Please stand. Le machazikim ba
ותומכיה מאושר דרכיה דרכי נועם וכל נתיבותיה שלום חשיבנו אדוני אליך ונשובה
חדש חדש ימינו חדש ימינו A tree of life is for those who take hold of it, and blessed are the ones who support it. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of its paths are peace. Turn us to you, Adonai, and we will return. Renew our days as of old. Long life is in his right hand, in his left hand are riches and honor. Adonai was pleased for the sake of his righteousness to render the Torah great and glorious. You may be seated. Because the Sephardic scroll doesn't have adornments in it and so on, then it's usually done in one move. That's some ways that's why it's done in Israel that way. The Ashkenazi scroll, on the other hand, is tradition that if the wife of the man called to the Torah is available, she would be called upon to come and undress the Torah and all those things. We don't want to put that on Sandy.
John's done that. We hear it every week, and I hear it, make sure that it is. And so he's using that because that makes sense. But Gene, it's a pleasure to have you in our pulpit. You can now relax, and now you can share something about this experience and your Torah portion.
Like I told you, Rabbi, I'm almost as nervous as the day of my wedding, so bear with.
I do. Oh, you have to know.
Jacob, would you put that picture up on the screen, please? I want to introduce you to somebody I just found out about. He's an interesting individual. Has nothing whatsoever to do with today's Torah portion, I don't think. We just got to find it back there. I know they got it. John worked on it this morning. So I'll give you a little bit of background. He's 96 years old. If you think you're too old to do anything, this individual, he's 96. He fought with the Ergun before Israel was a nation during the British mandates after World War II. He was just promoted to command sergeant major in the IDF in the rabbinate. And he still gets out with the troops. So if you think you're too old to do anything, think of this gentleman. He's been around for a day or two. And it has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with today. Yeah. I got to get the eyes on again. By a day or two. One of the advantages of getting to this point in life, I guess. You know, we live in strange times. Things that we thought that we had dealt with, that we had kind of eliminated after the end of the Second World War, seemed to be coming back with a vengeance. We look around, we got wars, rumors of wars everywhere. Anti-Semitic demonstrations on college campuses and in cities across the country. If you listen to the news, it seems like it's nothing but doom, gloom, and despair. And sounds like a song from Hee Haw. I was almost tempted to have John play it, but I passed on that one. But And then we get to today's parashat with Korach, who decided, for whatever reason, that he deserved to be equal to or better than Moses. And we sit there and we look back at Korach and go, how could you do this? You've come from Egypt. You've crossed the Red Sea. You've seen all this stuff. You know, but then I start thinking, am I really all that different? Is there any real difference between me and Korach? I think there's a lot of Korach in me and maybe in some of you even. I don't know. We can't be satisfied with what God has given us. For some reason, I don't know why, but it's just part of the human condition, I guess. But one of the things that struck me was when Moses started talking to the Levites. Jacob, if you can bring up Numbers 16, 9 through 11. Now, I'm not sure if Jacob's going to use the TLV or not. I looked at it in contemporary Torah, and it goes, is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has set you apart from the community of Israel and has given you direct access to perform the duties of Adonai's tabernacle and to minister to the community and serve them? And I'm going to just use verse 9. Then I looked at the complete Jewish Bible, and this is where it got really interesting. Is it a mere trifle that the God of Israel has separated you from the community of Israel to bring you close to himself so that you can do the work in the tabernacle of Adonai and stand before the community serving them? So I decided to look. What does the word trifle mean? Well, as a noun, it has two meanings: something of little value, substance, or importance, or a dessert. Well, I'm not sure Moses was talking about desserts that day. As a verb, it is to treat someone or something as unimportant, to talk in a jesting or mocking manner with the intent to delude or mislead, to handle something idly. And that took me to another place, because I want to interject here. 2 years ago, we were going through some things with Sandy, and I told her this the other day, so I wouldn't surprise her and embarrass her here. I wasn't sure that she would be able to even come home 2 years ago because of what was happening, let alone get to the point where celebrate our 50th anniversary and my bar mitzvah. And so some of what you're going to hear today comes from that. The gratitude to God, because my wife is able to sit back there today and celebrate our anniversary and this bar mitzvah with her brother and sister-in-law. Thank you, Todd and Karen, for coming. A synonym for gratitude is thankful. And that falls in the same category. And the Bible tends to speak a lot about thankful. Lo and behold, Psalms 50:23 says, a sacrifice of praise honors me, and to the one who orders his way, I will show the salvation of God. Psalms 101-5, Psalms 107, I'm not going to read all the scriptures. And I'd keep Jacob back there scrambling to find the texts. I'm not going to do that to him. I've been in his position. It's a challenge. Do it. You hear that, Jacob? Psalms 116, to you I will offer a sacrifice of praise and will call on the name of Adonai. Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Even with all this insanity around us today, the demonstrations, whatever, in a world filled with fear. I think one of the antidotes to the fear is gratitude and thankfulness. Thanking God. Hebrews 13:15. Through Yeshua, then, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips giving thanks to his name. You know, if I were to ask anybody here what they're thankful for, most people would probably say their family, their clothes, their house, you know, food, what have you. But what about the things that aren't so obvious, the intangibles? You know, the psalmist in the 139th Psalm talks about God putting us together, that we are a creation of his hands. You know, we think of biology, but well, who created biology? It wasn't me. So what about those intrinsic things in each of us? Like, Inami, you're a beautiful violin player. Not just a musician. You're more than that. When you play, the music's alive. Because there's lots of musicians around that can play the notes. But it doesn't make the music alive. Or Stephen, I'm picking on you two today because you're an easy target sitting over there. His ability to fix a car or a bus or whatever. Is that just training? Or is there something inside? Some kind of intrinsic thing that God put in each of us to fill the role that we do today? Or Candy with your flute. David with your cooking. Sam's not here, I'd pick on him. I understand he's home not feeling too well. Hope he's watching. I may put him to sleep if he is. But what about giving thanks to God for those little things? Things that we don't think about. You know, I'm going to pick on my wife for a minute, so I'm probably dead meat when I get done. You know, things like just finding a parking spot where she can get out of the car with the walker. Doesn't sound that important until you need it. So, you know, attitude of gratitude, thankfulness, however you want to say it, there's spiritual benefits. You know, Korach forgot how privileged he really was and got greedy, jealous, whatever. Started a family feud since him and Moses were first cousins. But, you know, I think gratitude helps us to be satisfied. It's, we can ask more of God, but we need to do it with the right attitude, and we need to start with being thankful for where we're at. It's not enough to, you know, human beings fascinate me for whatever reason. You know, you watch them in the mall and what have you, and watch what they do, but there's just something in us that never is satisfied with what God has given us, and we want more and more and more. We play the lottery to get a quick, hopefully to get a quick bang for the buck or something. Or we, you know, you name it. But there's another, I was doing, as I was digging through this stuff to get ready for today, I found a website that talked that there's not just spiritual benefits, there's real physical benefits. We sleep better. Our immune systems are better. Self-esteem is better. Stress lower. Lower blood pressure. All sorts of stuff like that. And so, and I'm obviously not, I don't speak as long as a rabbi. I haven't spent the years being a professor and talking and doing this. This is not where I'm comfortable. This isn't my. Yeah, well, I'm going to refrain from commenting. Take my Fifth Amendment right. Yeah. I'm more one-on-one. But the other thing I think back to is think back to Passover. What's Passover? It's a call to look back and remember. To remember and acknowledge what God has done. To not to live there, not to live in the past, but to look forward. And what's the song we sing at Passover? Anybody? What song do we sing at Passover? Dayenu. It would have been enough. How often do we think, Dayenu? It would have been enough if he had stopped here. And so I asked John to put a version of Dayenu in the. And I'm not going to lead the singing because I've been told I got a voice for silent movies and a face for radio. So where's Shimon? Come on up here. I told you I was going to pick on you. No, Shimon. Do you look like Shimon? Come here. I want this to be about more than just me. Thank you. Thank you for coming up. Jacob, if you'll play Dayenu, and I'm looking for somebody to help lead it. I need a volunteer. Oh, there she is. She's got her hands up. Candy. You raised your hands. I decided I wanted to have fun with this today, so come on. I'm going to embarrass you. I can't do it to my wife, but I... Jacob, whenever you're ready. You may have to look... I didn't mean to embarrass you, but I did anyway. It would have been enough. Do we know when to say Dayenu? So anyway, and now I'm going to give you a little bit of background. I want to get through that and then give you some background. This journey to this point started back in 2007. I was at a church conference, and one of the speakers talked about turning back the clock. And he said the church world wants to turn the clock back to 1950. We need to turn the clock back to AD 33, back to the start of Acts, where the church really started, not in the 300s. and it started this journey because I was getting dissatisfied with the church world, maybe because of all the baggage we picked up, all the traditions that maybe had nothing whatsoever to do with how to live. And here we are. Sandy, I'll update your version of our story. I'd gotten back from a deployment. We'd been in the Med for 7 months. I was on a ship. I happened to have a night off where I didn't have duty, so I went down to the USO in downtown Jacks. Well, it happened that she was volunteering there. Well, one of the people that actually worked there and got paid for it, they were getting ready for Friday night's dance, and they came down and collared me and said, "You're volunteering to help." I'm used to that part of it. You know, you're in the military, they volunteer you all the time. And that's how I met my wife. That was in 1972. Yeah. I don't know if it's a good year for wine since I don't drink it, but, you know. And that's where it all started. And now we're now 52 years on, a little bit less than that, but 50 years of marriage, where I've moved her all over the country, literally. We got married. I had to leave 3 days later to be in Great Lakes, Illinois, to go to school. We left there for San Diego, and then from San Diego, we moved to a place called Chicopee, Massachusetts. It's just north of Springfield. And from there, we went to University Park, Pennsylvania, where I decided I was going to try and get a degree as an engineer. And by the way, I am a recovering engineer. I don't know if Rabbi thinks like that, but there is a recovery process here, at least for me. And then we moved to Florida and bounced around Florida a few times until we got to Gainesville, where we finally settled down. But I don't regret a year. I'd ask her to come up, but I don't want to embarrass her. So I'm not going to do that. But Jacob, if you could play Anna Ladotti. This is dedicated to my wife.
Ani le todi ve todi.
So as we leave today, I guess I have a challenge for everybody. Dayenu. Think about it. There's a lot to chew on there. At least there was for me. So, thank you, Rabbi, for the opportunity.